I just caught it in time there.
I know, I was trying to time it for you to get in the room. I was like, he's going to love this if he comes into a bit of brass playing. I still can't see you. Same thing as every day.
You think I'd be the better than that? Anything, I'm getting worse.
It's all good. How you doing? There he is.
Oh, what is the top of my head?
How's it going?
Pajamas.
Sweet. Pajamas with what have you got? Just an hour and 45 until you're back out there?
8 o'clock, yeah, back at 8, man.
Yeah, man.
Can't wait.
So how's it going? Sam and George send their best. Sam's on a work call and George is still, as he calls it, baggage. It must be, I think it's an army term, but it just means tired.
Baggage?
Yeah.
That's
his term for tired.
Is that what army guys call teabagging each other?
I'm going to have to ask him. He needs to meet you at some point, doesn't he?
And you're going to have to edit that bit.
Yeah, maybe I'll keep it in.
Go for it, but don't tell him.
No, of course not. How you doing?
Hi, mate. It's kind of strange. There's races that go on for 4 days and people get like a couple hours sleep. There's things that are considerably tougher in world ultra running than what we're doing. I think this is kind of on its head. Usually when you're ultra running, the act of the running is the tough part. That's what's difficult and that's what wears you down and that's what's... But it seems to actually be, this is weird, and I think it's maybe something a lot of us aren't used to. It's between the running that it's tough, you know, because you do your bit, your sleep's interrupted pretty much every single day, so you're kind of tired, but then you're trapped between being tired but not being able to drink any coffee because you're going to have to get to sleep at some weird time probably. And then you're just kind of in like this zombie state every day where it's, you know, and it's, the other guys, they seem okay to me, but like I think after the first two night shifts, like kind of more mentally and emotionally, I kind of struggled a wee bit with a lack of sleep rather than actually struggling with the physical aspects of the actual running and the ascent, you know?
Yeah, you can, I mean, you guys are, yeah, you can do the running and it's, yeah, I can't even imagine, to be honest with you, because I can't deal with sleep after one day and not having run. It's just, I can't deal with no sleep. So I can't imagine what it's like on the non-running bits, because you can get yourself up for the run, right?
That's the thing. See, once you're like, you wake up like some weird time and you feel like death, but then you go and drink some coffee and you'll eat some like kind of carby food, some run fuel, and then you're fine. You've got like a 4 hour window. You need to go and do what you need to do, and that's fine. It's kind of easy because it's physically tough, but it's mentally easy because you have a goal and a target.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you have like, you try and shoehorn in a little bit more a compromised sleep, whatever time it is in the day, wherever your circadian rhythm is. And then you've got like this window of kind of having to just jiggle everything around, get yourself in probably the best position to go out for your next shift, which kind of traps you with what you can eat and what you can do and what you can drink, you know what I mean? And yeah, it's just, for me, it's kind of been those windows in between rather than the actual 4 hour windows out running.
So what are you doing in the day? What are you doing in the day, you know, when you've got that spare time and after you've kind of got your, tried to get your sleep, what's happening?
To be honest, my wife's been great. I've been like a total layabout. I got like a bit of an insight this weekend to what it's like to be a bit of a stoner. Just kind of just sitting down staring at Netflix. But also as well, you kind of see, because of what we're doing and why we're doing it, you're having to keep yourself consciously engaged on a daily basis on social media and your phone and like for particularly some of the people in the team, probably most of the people in the team, that's not really their natural habitat. You know, they will be active in social media, but they won't be really active in social media, not regularly.
Yeah.
Because their lives are basically kind of streamlined around whatever their job is and trying to get peak performance and peak training every week, you know. So that's a bit different from probably the norm as well. And you need to do it while you're just tired and kind of, yeah, it's like this is what we signed up for, you know. It kind of sounds as though I'm moaning, but I'm just trying to get across just what it's kind of like at this stage. And I think it, well, like listening to the kind of group chat and looking at some of the messages, I don't think anybody's struggling, but I certainly think in the last 24 hours it's kind of started to bite a little bit, you know. It's just that slow build, and we're getting to a point now that I think pretty much everybody, like, nobody's going to tap out, but everybody's kind of starting to feel like that the last 4.5 days.
Yeah, I bet.
And close to five.
Where are you at? So what's the update in terms of the are you right up there? Are you still on course and or away ahead? I mean, I read Paul's blog as well. So Paul writes a blog every day, doesn't he? On the Pylon website, he kind of updates what's going on. I know you now call the ascent. You measure it in Marcos. I've seen so yeah. The height of Marcos.
Somebody asked what a 6 foot man is because like we're basically like this. Well, this running team of little Smurfs plus Marco, like this big tall dude. Yeah. So we're all kind of wondering what a 6 foot guy is, and somebody went and says, "Well, that's a Marco." So we started measuring everything in Marcos, and but yeah, by Friday 12 o'clock, we should have been 6:42, so we were 7.83 miles.
Oh wow!
So that puts us up about 22%. We kind of between 19% and 21%. We've kind of got there, and it's kind of creeping up slightly, but that seems to be our buffer. So as we go higher, that 20% is only equating to more miles, which is good. And what ascent is 86,000 minus a bit of change. So we're up 33.7% on the. Did I say ascent a minute ago, or was I talking about miles?
Oh man, you're tired, aren't you? No, you did talk. No, you did miles, and then you talked about ascent. You're golden.
So I'm kind of getting like 3 sentences past and 2 sentences forward, just spinning around my head like a whirlwind. Yeah, so like, yeah, we're up 33. Long story short, up 33% in ascent, which is really, really good. And it's kind of it's strange, although over maybe the last 12 to 24 hours, it's felt as though it's kind of starting to bite. Our last 24 hours has actually been the highest volume of running we've done in 24 hours. It was like 184 miles. And I kind of am like, that seems a bit strange, but I think I've kind of figured it out in my head. So that when we kind of started this, we thought we'd be able to be regular with the miles, and I didn't think it would be easy by no means, but I think we were comfortable with that. But what we weren't sure about, and it was only really decided about the day we launched, if we were going to go for the 100,000 feet, just to make it a wee bit more interesting. And I think everybody kind of intuitively knew that that was going to be the tricky bit when you put like 100K in it. I mean, that's like just over 3 Everests.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a testament to the team and kind of ultra runners in general, you know, without any real conversation, everybody kind of intuitively to start with started bagging extra ascent. And now we've got like that really comfy buffer. I think everybody's starting to kind of move towards a bit of running and actually kind of putting that buffer up with the miles as well, you know, and it's been good because like the whole thing, it's kind of been like a flock of swallows watching them fly. We're kind of all just moving in the same direction at the same time without chatting about it. You know, it's amazing. It's really amazing. But that's kind of just what ultra runners are like. You know, they'll be like, okay, there's a big problem. Let's get that out of the way as soon as we can. And then we'll go on to the next big problem.
That's a good tactic.
That's been good fun. So good, sorry, Ben.
That's a good tactic, I think. Like, it works, doesn't it? Like, solve one bit, get it sorted, move on to the other bit, or rotate. Like, you know, just pick off bits.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, in ultra running, because you can be out there for, like, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, however many days, in fact, however long, that there's kind of, it's like a rule, you know, and it's so much I kind of spoke about rule. There's like a few, they kind of become cliches, you know, and it's like, if you've got a problem, fix it early, and that's kind of, yeah, I think just without talking about it, without really thinking about it, everybody's kind of thought, right, yes, it might be tricky. Let's get that bagged.
Yeah.
And now that we've got that bagged, everybody's probably thinking, okay, we'll put on a wee bit more mileage. And yeah, that I think that's what's resulted in that highest tally of my last 24 hours, albeit that the last 24 hours has probably been where it started to get a bit tougher and there's been a few niggles. And Paul had a terrible shift, I think. And I know that because he put a video up and he was wearing a Gore-Tex jacket. So, like, any ultra runners listening to this will be like, he ran in a Gore-Tex jacket. Because, like, we're like, okay, light is fast. And we've got, like, these jackets that we pay, like, a crazy amount of money for that aren't even waterproof. They kind of just keep the wind off you. And but they're really, really light. And, like, you see people up in mountains in some horrendous conditions with these really, really little lightweight jackets on. And I'll give you some context. Paul didn't even put Gore-Tex on when he was in the Bartley Marathons.
Oh, didn't he?
You know, he was... No, didn't put Gore-Tex on. He was just layered up and he had his running jacket on and his vest. And when I saw the video and he actually had a Gore-Tex jacket on, I was like, oh, it must be bad.
That's got to be biting.
I mean, ultra runners wear Gore-Tex when they're like sat at an aid station waiting on somebody else or hiking up a mountain in a storm.
Yeah.
It's probably the only time you put Gore-Tex on. So, yeah, and he did, like, by the account of his video, he had like a long, tough, wet, horrible night, and it was the death shift as well. It was the 12 to 4, but like he still knocked out a solid ascent and a solid mileage, and just kind of got on with it. I'm not entirely sure how much he enjoyed that one.
No, and that's you're going out at 8 o'clock, so it's 8 till 12 next, and then you have the death shift, don't you? You've got the midnight to four. Is that right? Did I look at that right?
Thanks, Ben. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
But that is, so for me, that is very your mentality, that actually you would revel in finishing on the hardest shift. I bet you anything. Like, that's very you, like the Connollys, very much.
I do kind of like the idea of it going out on the tough one. And I think what's going to be great about it is, like, as it's kind of like the last death shift, All the accumulation of the miles and the kind of interrupted sleep across the week is going to play into to my mental and emotional state for going out there and how I feel after it. And it's not going to be enjoyable. But again, like I had earlier in the week, you know, it's a great insight for me as an athlete and as a runner and a competitor. And it's going to give me lessons to learn. I had a... After my first two night shifts, like the next day, like I just got up, I hadn't had any coffee, and there was like a message about like a Zoom thing meeting. I was like, I messaged Paul and I was like, I'm not going to come on it. I'm not really in a good place. I don't feel perky at all. I'm a bit disengaged. And basically, I was kind of in a wee bit of a huff.
Yeah.
And I was just getting in a bit of a huff and feeling sorry for myself. And Paul was just kind of due out. So I just put all my crap on him for him to run with his head, as you do.
Yeah.
But it wasn't nice, but it was good. It was a great learning opportunity again, you know. Like I got a coffee, I got a decent sleep, and I got some food, and then I got myself back up again. And you kind of, it's like training. It's like the physical stimulation of training, you know. You need those peaks and those troughs and those peaks and those troughs to stimulate learning and stimulate progress, you know. So, yeah, that death shift's not going to be the worst to go out on.
No, and do you know what?
I kind of... Sorry, Ben.
Oh, no, go on, you carry on.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad one, because I don't think we're going to be, I'm not sure, I don't think we'll be, if things go the way they're going, I don't think we'll go through the 100,000 or through the 1,000 miles by then. And I think it's kind of the guys after me. Like if we, and this is a kind of, again, an ultra runner mentality and a competitor mentality, once we get through the 1,000, and we go through the 100,000, like that's done. That box is ticked.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
then the question of how far can we go past that?
Yeah.
So like once we tick that box, then that's kind of on those guys. And like I don't really envy them with that. You know, like when we did Endeavour the last time and we ran from Cape Wrath to Kirkyetham, so top left hand corner of Scotland to the bottom right hand corner. And we had the 100-hour target. Like I was kind of lucky because I did like the penultimate leg, which was pretty long, and for the boarders it was pretty hilly, and it was just a tough section. But we were mathematically kind of out of it by then. like Paul had made a call. He's like, look, I don't want anybody killing herself to try and drag it back. Let's ride this in and enjoy the experience to the end. You know, let's just savor this because this has been phenomenal. And like that pressure was lifted, and I was so glad because I was like 10 minutes through that section and I was like, if I was actually in a position, we'd like 20, 30 minutes to catch and we could still do this, I would be dead out here, you know?
Yeah.
So the guys kind of, you know, they may have that in their head once we go through the 1,000 and past 100,000 as well, you know, they want to see typical attitude. That's why all the guys are at the level they're at, you know, we want to push on and see how much further they can take the baton, you know?
Well, that's it. I'd expect nothing less, to be honest with you. Knowing you guys and also kind of knowing myself and like the mentality of it, it's very much like, let's see what we can do now that we've ticked the boxes. That's important, and that was important at the start, but now it's important to see what we can actually do, because like you say, you guys wouldn't have got to where you were if you had a different mentality.
I think what people have in common when they're kind of training and performing at a reasonable level in sports is that they're all very goal orientated and they need purpose and goals and aims. And I think as soon as you lose one, your mind naturally starts, it's like monkey bars, you start naturally grappling for that next bar. Yeah. Because, and it's like, it's something I always kind of struggle with, like Tuesday and Thursday is hill reps and intervals, and traditionally Saturday is a long run. And the runs that I probably find most difficult is the Monday and the Wednesday, the base runs. You know, see, you're just like getting that base load on there. With that kind of lack of clear goal or pace or distance or whatever it else is you're trying to, that box you're trying to tick, without that, that's the ones I kind of struggle with, you know?
So I think
the guys will naturally, they'll just look for another target. They'll just look for another goal to achieve. Yeah.
So your next one, so going out in, I need to let you go actually, because you obviously need to get ready, but you know, you're going out at 8, I'm assuming that you, as you said at the start, you're Mr. Consistency, your plan is to tick off the boxes that you ticked off the whole time, around 3,000 feet, right, and around a marathon, is that right?
Nah, my ego totally got the better of me.
go on.
So like last night when that was my first one kind of off the night shift, and I think one of the reasons where like I kind of took a wee huff a bit as well is my runs were kind of like nice and safe, and there wasn't a huge, there was something I had to do, but it wasn't like this will kind of take me to the edge of what I might be able to do in this 4-hour window. And so I just kind of rounded the edges in my head, and I was like, do you know what? Everybody else is doing some amazing running. I think I owe them at least one 30-mile shift, so I'll go for the 30-mile shift. And so I went and done a bit of running last night, and it kind of hurt. But that kind of like Mr. Consistent German engineer, just tick out what needs to be done. My ego was just like, yeah, they're all doing 30 miles. I need to get like a 30-mile shift in. I need to be like they guys.
I love it.
To be honest, it was by far the toughest one I've done out of the three, but it was by a million miles the most enjoyable one. Like I loved it because I had that aim and that goal and that purpose from leaving the door. And it was good. I loved every minute of it. And I got the 30 in, and I was kind of, I think I was about 1,600 feet of ascent, and I had about 15 minutes left, maybe just over 15 minutes. So I'm quickly doing the maths, and I'm like, if I run up here, and then I can go up that hill, and I can just keep going uphill until the clock runs out, and I might get the 2,400. So I just started heading up. I got to the nearest hill I could and just kept running uphill and uphill. And see where John took you a run?
Yeah.
Ultimately, the clock ran out and I ended up the Kilpatrick Hills in the dark, like -3 wind chill. All I had on was like a wee thin T-shirt. And like I was stoked when I stopped my watch at 2,401 foot.
Amazing.
Oh, I was delighted. However, literally 5 or 10 seconds after stopping my watch, I was like, oh my God, this was such a stupid idea. I'm going to freeze.
I was just about to say that. I'm like, you're up the hills and you've got to jog all the way back home as well.
Yes. Stopped a couple of miles away from home, yeah. It wasn't, right, I didn't, like, you're just so focused on, like, oh, I can tick that box now. I've still got a goal. I've still got a name. And it wasn't literally until I stopped my watch. I was like, oh, wait a minute. You're in the middle of nowhere. You're up in the dark and the woods with really insufficient gear on.
I love it.
And, like, as soon as I turned, like, the wind that was kind of slightly in my back was just in my face and all the sweat. It just started cutting through me. This is such a stupid idea. And it's such an arbitrary target as well, but just having that something to drive to in your brain, it's just so important, you know. If you don't have purpose, like for me, if I don't have purpose, I don't have balance. I don't have drivers and goals and aims.
And it's being part of a team as well, isn't it? It's like you know that you're not just banking those miles for yourself or the climbing. You're literally banking it for your team.
Yeah, it is. And I kind of convinced myself of that, you know. Like I thought, I've got 30 miles in for the team. I know I want to get my 2,400 in as well, you know. Like, because the guys like that have been banging out the 30 miles consistently, like they've still been smashing like 3,000 feet, 3,500 feet, and 4. Like some of the ascent and the miles they've been putting in is just, I've been awestruck. It's just really amazing some of the performances have been getting put out there.
Oh, that's amazing! Yeah, I'm so glad. Amazing.
Yeah,
I'm really glad. I'm just saying, I'm really glad that you know that everything's going to plan, and you know, so far, you know, touch wood and all that. But it just sounds all positive, and you know. I wouldn't even care if I wasn't recording for a podcast. I'm genuinely fascinated by this. Like, I absolutely love hearing what is going through the head of you and all of them at any given point and in the week, and that you're thinking and you're planning. Like, it's fascinating. I love it. I wish my body could do what your body does. Like, my body cannot. I'm sure that if I conditioned myself properly and just focus on running, eventually I could get there. But because I switched from running and cycling and all, like my hip, I ran 12k yesterday and my hip is now hurting. It's like I just can't fathom it. I want to be able to do it, and one day I will, but it's a long road.
I can only imagine, like, I mean, like if you switched everything and just became an ultra runner, like I can only imagine the amount of money you would save on gear, like having to pay for the equipment for three different sports. Oh my.
It's like, the cost of transferring a bike as well. Like, you try and fly a bike to different countries if you're doing race. It's just so expensive. It is ridiculous. I am pivoting to ultra running after I've ticked off this Ironman. 100%.
Do it.
Oh, it's happening.
I know a guy that does some coaching. He'd be able to help you out.
Good man.
Hashtag team pylon.
Good man.
Hashtag ad.
I can actually be in. I could be the one. I could do Endeavour from Bangkok.
Yeah. When is that happening? When are you going, man?
August.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds like a solid life adventure.
Do you know what? It's quite apparently Thailand is very, very trail running heavy. Like, lots of good trail running races and lots of passionate trail runners in Thailand. So I think I'm not going to cycle on those roads. So I probably will pivot to ultra running. 100%.
Yeah, get it done, man. And I think what would be really good about that as well is, like, literally for like the first year or so, like every single run you would go on would just be discovering some new trail or some new route. And that, I mean, that'd be awesome. That's a great way to see Thailand is running around the hills and the trails.
100%. Yeah, 100%. It's just the heat. You know, we're talking about 35 degrees on a lot of the days. That's the thing that's going to slay me is trying to work out how I'm actually going to run without melting.
See, but by the time you come home, or if you come home for little breaks and stuff, you always need to make sure that you enter races at the very height of summer, because you're going to have such a competitive advantage.
Yeah.
In like 28, 29, 30 degrees.
100%.
I think that's going to rule out Scottish races for you.
That's true.
Yeah. Up here in the height of summer, and you'll get 18 degrees and rain.
That is your summer, right? That's what John always says.
I mean, that's like a great time for us.
Yeah, it's like one day in June or something is your summer, like John always
says. It's kind of two weeks in May. Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a good summer. And then like by July, you think, oh, that was summer.
Well, I met John, you remember he was doing the race, he got injured just before that race. He's redoing it this year if it's still on. And I met him in the Lake District? Lakeland. Yeah, that's it. And it's just, I mean, it is the Lake District, but it was just wet, just wet. It was drizzly, grey, wet. There was not a moment of sunshine, nothing. And it's midsummer.
Yeah. I think the kind of any kind of relatively landlocked hilly areas, you know, the kind that they have their own wee weather systems, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, you guys prefer those though, right, don't you? I would have thought, like,
I take that every day of the week, Ben. Yeah. You know, see, like a hot summer's day, like that's not ideal for me. Not ideal at all.
No, I can imagine, and especially not doing an ultra like the Stour Valley Path when John did it. I think it was like 28 degrees or something and sunny.
It's a nice problem to have.
I know. Yeah, I can't complain at all. Yeah. I better let you go, mate. I'm excited to find out how it goes. So it's your penultimate run.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Smile.
Yep, that's it. Take this last one, and then it's just a glory night shift, the glory death shift.
Let's call
end.
It the glory shift. Absolutely, yeah. That is the glory shift, isn't it? Right.
We'll call it there then, Ben. All right, my man.
Get on, man. I'm so excited for you. So have a good one tonight, and we'll catch up tomorrow. Let me know how it goes.
All right, cool, man. See you soon, buddy.
Cheers, buddy. Have a good one.
Bye, bye, Ben. Bye,
see you, mate. Bye.